There's only really one good and proper public interest decision for you to make, and that is to say, go away, we're going to leave the reservoirs alone until there's a real mandate from the feds, which will never come. So, do what is in the best interest of the citizens. Don't change anything at the reservoirs because there's no compelling public interest. There's no established legal reason. That is in the record, has been since Commissioner Saltzman and when Randy Leonard was on the city council. You don't need to be spending this money. And that's another atrocious thing that needs to be on the record, is that we have millions, tens of millions of dollars to run construction gear up through Washington Park and destroy things. But then, oh my gosh, we can't afford to deal with the conduit on the lighting fixtures at Mount Tabor Park. You all look absurd.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello. My name is Camille Day. I'm a software engineer at Intel. I'm a resident of Portland, and I consider myself a citizen of Cascadia. Time after time, this council under Mayor Hale's leadership has acted as if Portland was your personal playground, pushing an agenda that the residents of Portland have opposed vocally and consistently. Backroom deals, closed balconies, and rushed decisions are not the symptoms of a healthy democracy. So here we are again, your supposed bullies, as I have read in the papers, ruining all your playground fun. The people are speaking. As an elected representative, you need to learn to listen. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. I'm Brad Yazzolino. This is a real tragedy unfolding slowly for many years. I want to urge the City Council to uphold the Historic Landmarks Commission, and I want to ask you to deny the appeal of the Water Bureau. There's a lot of truth in the fact that the rush to this is a ridiculous and absurd unfolding. And I won't go into that, though, too much, because it's going to look like that in the future when all this comes out. You know, all of you, that I've been shooting all this video, and the story will be told, and it's a long, complicated story. But basically, you are robbing us of our own water and indenturing Portland to years of expensive, industrial, increased chemicals, added water. We used to have our sun, our nearest star, cleansing our pure, free rainwater from the Bull Run watershed. But now, thanks to, shall I call you villains? Perhaps. We will have dark-stored, over-chemicalized, degraded water until we build a new system, perhaps, to replace the fiasco that you have led us by the nose into. So don't destroy the historic reservoirs. Keep them. Pledge to us that the Water Bureau will have to, and you, the City Council, will have to fund and preserve them at full fill levels, and they would be historic monuments to our once safe, simple, and exemplary drinking water system, and they may be restored to that someday if we can possibly keep them from being literally shredded apart and utterly destroyed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next.
Next three are 27 D. White, 29 Paul Cienfuegos, and 30 Sandra Gainey, and they'll be followed by 31 Joseph Mitchell, 32 Jody Lorimer, and 34 Laurel Christman.
Okay, Ms. White, I think you're first.
I'm Dee White. I live off of Foster. Rochester, New York changed their reservoir plans in 2010 after community opposition. Rochester's three open reservoirs were built in the late 1800s and are set in city parks. Rochester reservoirs are earthen, unlike our concrete reservoirs, and which notably were built to last, as they have for over 100 years and as they are today. Here I will read part of an email from the head of the Water Department in Rochester that was sent to Friends of the Reservoirs in 2010. The city is in the process of implementing improvements to our three finished drinking water reservoirs, Cobbs Hill, Rush, and Highland. Both Highland and Cobbs Hill are located in public access parks within the densely populated neighborhoods of the city. Highland Reservoir is located in Highland Park, a park that is listed in National Register of Historic Places. The park was designed by Frederick Law Olmsted in 1892. The public is very sensitive to any changes in their open reservoirs because they are considered aesthetic resources. Thanks to sincere efforts by Mayor Bloomberg and Senator Schumer, the entire EPA L22 rule, including the open reservoir requirement, is now under revision. New York City and Rochester were granted a deferral until 2028. Not one thin dime will be spent between now and then on treating or covering their open reservoirs. Both cities achieved relief because they did not fast-track their compliance plan in the first place, unlike the Portland Water Bureau. Mayor Hales, you had an opportunity to seek this kind of scheduled delay from the state of Oregon when you took office in 2013, but sadly, you never even made the request. This is a failure of leadership. I implore you, Mayor Hales, to seek a construction delay from Governor Brown and stop this fast-track processing of dismantling our open reservoirs at Mount Tabor. It's not too late to do this.
Thank you. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Paul Cienfuegos. I live a few blocks from the reservoir at Mount Tabor. The Historic Landmarks Commission public hearings were the very first government body public hearings in Portland over the last few years on this topic that demonstrated a commitment to actually listen to we the people of this city. I attended two of the three public hearings. I attended the Warner Pacific meeting where the policy was on the agenda for discussion, and at the point that the policy part of the agenda was finally reached, the two city council members who were present claimed they had to walk out. So I've been waiting now for 3 or 4 years for some kind of public policy conversation, ideally from you folks, the city council, where the public gets to act as if they're respected as the people that you represent. And I lead workshops all over the United States on democracy and corporate rule. Here's the first paragraph of our state constitution in Oregon. I don't feel that the city council, and certainly not the Water Bureau, is meeting the Oregon state constitution's minimums. Natural rights inherent in people. We declare that all power is inherent in the people. All free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness, and they have at all times a right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they may think proper. That's the current first paragraph of the Oregon State Constitution. I witnessed the Historic Landmarks Commission attempting to vote no on the disconnect of the reservoir, but I read their mandate on the website, and they're not allowed to vote no, but they would have voted no on the disconnect if that mandate of theirs had allowed it. So I still believe that you as a city council have never properly allowed the public in this city to represent their positions on whether the LT2 is even something that has to be met in the way that you're insisting it has to be met. And I suspect that there's 80% of the public in this city agrees with me. And because you've never allowed a proper public process, that's why there's so much anger in this city today.
Thank you. Next, folks, please.
Was there a number 30, Sandra Ganey? Here, okay. Then we'll go with 31, Joseph J. Mitchell, 32, Jody Lorimer, and 34, Laurel Chrisman. Okay, what about 35, Joe Myers? 36, Luke Dulkus. Laura Smith, 37. 38, Susan Tompkins. Courtney Scott, 39. 40, Floyd Jones.
Okay, go ahead. Welcome.
Yes, my name is Laurel Christman. I'm a resident of the Mount Tabor area. I visit the park frequently. And I've come here to speak from a very heartful place. I'm at a loss to speak from any other place because it's all been said. All the science is in. All the specifics are in. And there's nothing else to do but speak from the heart, which I can barely do now. But when we're speaking of beauty, the beauty of our park, Mount Tabor Park, Washington Park, for that matter, that's a somewhat separate issue, we're talking about the heart. And I'm just here to implore you to go to your hearts, to go to your conscience, to go to that place where maybe you will go in your quiet times. I hope you have some quiet times. Because this is really a bigger issue than Mount Tabor Park or Washington Park. It's a global issue, and it's a global issue about power. And when you wonder why sometimes people speak disrespectfully, why they yell, why you don't get your peace like you would have it in these chambers, it's because that's sometimes what people do when there's misuse of power and they feel disempowered. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Luke Dulkus. Good afternoon. Thanks for letting me speak. I've been a resident of Portland for 20 years. I own a small business in town. I have been enjoying Mount Tabor for 20 years, and I have two small children who are just starting to enjoy it as well. I'm Greek, so democracy is kind of a big deal for me. I just want to say that, you know, if the Water Bureau does not step up and take responsibility for the project that they started, the reservoirs will fall into disrepair. They will quickly become the eyesore of Portland, as opposed to the gem that we're all used to. The Water Bureau needs to take responsibility for this project. Please do not allow them to get out of this decision that was made by the Historic Landmarks Commission. The history books of Portland are being written right now, today, right here in this room. What do we want them to say? What do we want them to say about us? And what do we want them to say about you, our leaders? Do we want our children and our children's children to read our history books and smile? Do we want them to say, I'm proud of our history? Do we want them to say that they are thankful that our elected leaders fought to preserve our history? Do we want them to say that they are proud and want to emulate their past leaders' courage and foresight? Or do we want them to shrug their heads, sigh, and say that they wish our parents, grandparents, and leaders fought to maintain our history? Again, if the Water Bureau does not step up and take responsibility for the project that they started, the reservoirs will fall into disrepair. They will quickly become the eyesore of Portland as opposed to the gem that we are all used to. The Water Bureau needs to take responsibility for this project. Please, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Floyd Jones, I'm representing Friends of the Reservoirs, and as most of you know, we've been working on reservoir and all water system issues for over 14 years now, and we're proud to say that we, through our extensive efforts in 2004, which modeled the efforts of Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association on this issue, were successful in winning the 2004 reservoir panel. And the way we were able to do that is we did invest a significant amount of time, but we were able to have dialogue back and forth on a weekly basis. And it was difficult because at each step, the Water Bureau would submit misleading information. And I've heard it again today on the water level issue, on the cost issue. Those were the same tactics that were used at the reservoir panel. But when you're able to dig into documents and, you know, sit together and analyze information, reasonable people come to the same conclusion. That's why the majority of the reservoir panel supported us. And for the record, there have been a lot of false statements made to the media. There is no mandate to eliminate open reservoirs. There absolutely is no mandate to do that. I submitted 10 pages of comments addressing all of the land use issues, including ownership, water level, all of the significant issues. I'm not sure that I have time at this moment to cover those, but so regarding the costs, when the Water Bureau wants to expend money, even though it's not in the budget, that's really not an issue. And we can look to Washington Park in 2006. There was nothing in the budget to engage in infrastructure upgrades and aesthetic upgrades at that park. But within a month or two, that money was in the budget, and they were putting in $100,000 new wrought iron fencing, replacing the cyclone fencing. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on the grand open staircase, new sidewalks. We didn't support having to do that on a rush schedule, and we, of course, support maintaining and preserving our historic open reservoirs. So there's no doubt in my mind that there's money available to take care of the historic structure items that have been supported by the Landmark Commission. So obviously we don't support decommissioning the reservoirs, but we do support the position of the Historic Landmark Commission.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you all. Next week.
Number 41, Catherine Cherry Holenstein. 42, Janet Markley Hayes. And 44, Jesse Smonberg.
Come on up.
And then we'll be followed by 45, Jane Linegar. 46, Sarah Long, and 48, Michael Conley.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm Catherine Cherry Lambert Holenstein, and I do not need 2 minutes today, and this city council does not need to do this. The EPA is revisiting their ruling, and they'll give a report next year. So my question is, why the rush? But I find that the city council is in a very big hurry to demolish and destroy, whether it's very livable homes and make more homeless people, or destroy our reservoirs, the best water system in this country. Water is life. Do not destroy our reservoirs. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Janet Markley Hayes. And I just want to say, you people are supposed to be representing us. Please do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you, guys. My name is Jesse Sponberg, or as you guys nicely referred to me in the news all week, as a bully. Let me explain something to you. You know, when I came here today, I was so torn. First, I wanted to, you know, talk about your campaign donations and people like Joe Glick are going and actually writing these things. And then you said something today. You said you were the fourth person in charge of the Water Bureau since Commissioner Saltzman. I would challenge that none of you have ever been in charge of the Water Bureau, and that this whole time it's been developers that are in charge of this Water Bureau, the same developers that are keeping you all elected, because if you don't do what they say, you won't get that money for your fancy television commercials. You're only going to be here for one more year, buddy. Slow it the hell down. I don't even recognize the city that you took over 3 years ago. You met at Mark Wiener's house with the Uber people, and you brought Airbnb in here. Division Street doesn't even look like it used to look when I could still afford to live there. And you guys are jumping at the bit to get that money, to get more contracts, to build more stuff, so more consultants and more contractors. Who do you work for? Like, seriously, who do you work for? Us? That picture right above you, that's a picture of Mount Tabor. Are you guys going to go up there and paint condominiums on it? Just like the one on Division, the old reservoir that was allowed to get into disrepair until there was no other choice. But let's put condos up there. Look at Southeast Division Street. You think that we believe that there's any sincerity going on in here? These people behind me all took time off of work. I took time off of work. These people have been taking time off of work to go to historic land use commissions and neighborhood meetings and Warner Pacific only to get walked out on. And then Dan Saltzman walks out in the middle of four people's testimony. He comes back. You walk out in the middle of four people's testimony. How insincere is this circus going on? Not for 1 minute do I think that any of you guys, maybe Commissioner Frisch about 50%, but the rest of you are just in, you got people in your pockets, putting money in your pockets, and I just want to say this is a travesty, and if that makes me a bully, well, that's what happens when somebody's gone 15 years without being listened to. Thank you for your time.
The next three are Jane Leninger, 46, Sarah Long, and 48, Michael Conley. Let's go with 49, Carol Scholl, and then 51, the last person who was able to sign up was Nan Wigmore. Wigmore, thank you.
Okay. Come on up, if you still want to. Maybe the last word. Anyone else that wants to speak?
Any of those names I called, please come on up.
Yeah, anyone else whose name was called, come on up. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Carol Scholl. I'm a taxpayer and a homeowner and a proud resident of Montevilla, the east side of Mount Tabor. You know, every week I ride my bike over Mount Tabor, and these days I look at the trees. They got little tags on them. They're going to be chopped down for the disconnection project, and it just breaks my heart. And then every week also I walk the stairs along with, you know, hundreds of other residents and tourists, and I sit at the top of Mount Tabor under those giant trees. And what do I look at? I look down at the beautiful reservoirs, and I'm so proud to live in Portland when I see that sight. And so I'm here. I also took most of the day off work to be here in praise of my park, and to urge you all to uphold the Historic Landmark Commission ruling and deny the Water Bureau's appeal. And trees count, and views bring tourists, and tourists bring money to our great city. Again, thank you all for your work. One part of the Historic Landmark Commission's ruling was to create some educational plaques. Now, I'm an educator. And wouldn't it be great if our kids in the future could see your names up there on those plaques as being the champions of Mount Tabor? And you know, Mount Tabor's history is just fantastic. And I've learned so much in this process. Thank you, Amanda Fritz, for bringing it up, helping us all as members of the public get to know what's going on. But thank you all for your work. Again, let's preserve Mount Tabor.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome.
I'm Nan Wigmore, and I would like to, I'm 78 years old today, and I don't want applause, but 68 of those years have been spent within 10 blocks of Mount Tabor Park. My husband and I built a house we purchased 5 blocks from this park because it was so close to the park. We could raise our children and come here every day. So my kids played in the huge pool that was here sometime gone. I skidded out the seat of my jeans coming down the old volcano, the caldera. I found courage, and so did my grandchildren. In the playground, we found strengths. And there are things that I talk about that I've heard here that sound sentimental. Please, sir, please, ma'am, we do not come here because of sentimental value. We come here for the future, as you must have done when you started out with your careers. And I've heard you say, Amanda, that you took a vow. And I appreciate that you cared, but something along the way has caused something to change. And I don't know what it is exactly, but I know that we deserve better now. We deserve at least what our parents saw as a wonderful place to raise their children. So I learned to play tennis on the tennis court here, the first sport I learned. And I didn't finish writing my notes, so I don't know if I have more to say. I don't know how much time I have, but I could talk a while, you know.
We appreciate you very much for being here.
I need to suspend the rules.
Yeah, we're happy to give you some more time.
Excuse my enthusiasm. So for the history of Mount Tabor, I used to take people on tours of Mount Tabor, the parks. I would explain to them what I knew, which wasn't a lot. I know that I took romantic drives and walks with my ex-husband before we were married. I remember that great-grandparents came here when they were older. Relatives came from a long way across the country for picnics at the top of the mountain where we can no longer drive. Perhaps the city will someday, I hope, think about that kind of thing. How do you get those who have some disability or age to the top of the park again? That would be a good way to spend one of those dollars. I remember a good friend who was about my age tell me that she came up here on her honeymoon from San Francisco when she was about 20 years old. And she's gone now. But that was the kind of reputation Portland had at the time. I think I've said enough. But I want to thank you very much for being here and listening this one time, because somehow I feel you're listening to us. And the people have some wisdom here. Please listen.
Thank you. We can suspend the rules for that. So that's a very hard act to follow, but you're welcome to try.
Well, if I last another 30 years, maybe you'll let them clap for me, too.
I think so. Please just put your name in the record and then
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, my name's Michael Conley, and citizen, taxpayer, ratepayer, I guess in that order. I had to step out on some personal business, so some of the, what I'm going to say may have been said already, the main thing I want to say is that I believe that the whole idea of demolishing these reservoirs is a wanton act. And it reminds me of the way people used to act towards nature when European settlers first came out here, and they just, run roughshod over it. Let's do what we want. I mean, they didn't even think of it like that. They didn't have that awareness. Same thing with pollution and everything else. I know that's a little bit off the topic, but to me, it's just a wasteful act. It doesn't really fit with the Portland ethos that we're famous for around the country. And I believe it's very ironic that this whole thing was set in motion by an EPA ruling, which, normally, yeah, go EPA. But you know what? In this case, they were wrong. We didn't fight it. So now we're having this conversation about destroying these wonderful reservoirs and possibly impacting the quality of our drinking water for generations to come. As a ratepayer, I also want to note that I was here during much of the discussion, but I missed the last hour. But I took some notes during the talk about the gatehouse restoration. Well, that came in at four times over budget, around $200,000. That's four times the estimate. So that makes me wonder, what about the whole $8 million? Is that going to be $32 million? Is it going to be $40 million? Because as we all know, these kind of cost overruns are common in public projects. I think that when Commissioner Fish said that he was defending the Water Bureau, and he said there's a fundamental disagreement among citizens, and I don't think that's correct, because like I said, I was out, but I haven't seen a whole bunch of just regular citizens come up and say, yeah, destroy the things like truckloads. Like all the truckloads of material and those huge contracts. I don't think anybody's really in favor of that. We don't want to pay for it. We don't want to live through it. And also we're going to be it's very wasteful to the our legacy of our water infrastructure.
Right. Thank you very much. Thanks. Okay. I think that we've covered the list of folks that wanted to speak.
That's all who signed up. There was a request to speak from someone who didn't get to sign up.
Okay.
Sure. Ma'am, if you're still here.
Sure. Come on up, please. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Joy Ellis. I'm a Portland native. I'm an attorney. I've lived a block away from Mount Tabor Park for the last 19 years as a homeowner, and I'm also coming to you as a mother. And this issue, I've never had to testify before you before. I've never felt so moved to need to testify in front of you. So I'm sorry if my voice shakes, but this issue is near and dear to me. I was disturbed by the decision to disconnect the reservoirs and to take them offline. But I was far more disturbed when I attended a tour of the project last summer and realized quickly that the Water Bureau had little interest in maintaining the reservoirs whatsoever. I asked a question about what would happen to the reservoirs once the disconnect project was complete and was told by a glib Water Bureau representative that it was no longer their problem. And this choice of words seemed odd to me, since the reservoirs were never a problem to anyone, near as I could tell. And calling them that was revealing indeed. When did this historic treasure, this incredible public works project, this amazing story about our city's drinking water, become a problem and not a civic asset that set this grand park apart from all the others? I support the conditions set on the Water Bureau's permit. The mandate for repair and maintenance to these historic structures is basic common sense. If the Water Bureau can't live with those conditions, then the Bureau should not be permitted to proceed with the reservoir disconnection project and wreck our park. We need more restorative beauty in the city. It compensates for the dense urban development that we all tolerate. Those reservoirs offer that respite from the modern world and from our density. They give us all a place to go and walk off a stressful day, exercise the dog, take the kids for a safe trike ride away from car traffic. And the expanse of those deep pools allow us all to take a deep breath and realize how lucky we are to live in this wonderful city. In addition to beauty, however, we need more accountability. Allowing the Water Bureau to simply walk away from repairing and maintaining the historic reservoir district in the manner it should have done all along as a steward of the city's resources would be a mistake. And I see it as an irreversible one that sends the wrong message at a time when the city of Portland and the city council specifically needs to be sending a very different message. I therefore call on you, my city council, to let the unanimous Historic Landmarks Commission decision stand, allowing Mount Tabor Park to remain intact and inviting for generations to come. Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi. I came up with Joy to be in solidarity. I hate to be the last person to speak here today. I'm Georgia Lampros Obradovich. Grew up here in Portland. Love Washington Park. Grew up there. Grew up in Mount Tabor the second half of my life. I love this city. I love the parks. I think they're treasures. People come here to see Mount Tabor Park. I take all my husband's people that come from out of town up to our reservoirs and to see the beauty of Portland. So I think it should be protected. I need you to invest in it. And places like this must be preserved for our children. You can make this happen. Don't stand for anything less than keeping our Mount Tabor Park alive with the now historic, their historic reservoirs, and they need to be kept intact. Even if they no longer serve to provide us with water, if that should happen, they should be maintained for their pure beauty and peacefulness. We moved here again to Mount Tabor 23 years ago, and we raised two kids, three dogs in this wonderful neighborhood. We pay $11,000 a year in property tax on Salmon Street. I go up there every day, and I don't care about that because I love my park. I think we would gladly pay more if you could keep it the way it is, maintain it. Don't pass the buck. Make somebody stand for keeping it the way it is, either the city or the Water Bureau. It needs to remain the way it is. Don't chop the trees down, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Okay, I want to give the parties an opportunity for rebuttal because we have that in the schedule here, and then we can decide whether we want to keep the record open proceed that way or not. But let's give the Water Bureau first. Sorry, Lindley, am I messing up?
Well, typically rebuttal follows the close of the record.
So we're going to decide whether we're going to close the record. Okay.
If you want to do rebuttal and then more rebuttal later.
Let's hear from the council about whether you want to keep the record open and whether there's a request from either the Water Bureau or the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association to keep the record open for some time, as we'll take that into consideration. Your call on whether you'd like that or not.
Mr. Mayor, Ty Wyman again, and I will take that as an invitation to address you, and I will be brief here. I do think new information has been submitted today, quite a bit of it, by the Water Bureau. More importantly, I sense that there remain questions in the minds of the commissioners. And really, when you make that decision, there shouldn't be any questions left. Some of the questions, I think, even are factual at this point. That really lends itself to an open record period, and so we would request one. How much
would you like? I would recommend a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think the 2 weeks was fine.
Okay.
So if we were to do that, Council, we could then set a hearing where we would reconvene for the purposes of rebuttal, since the record would then close.
Right.
And we'd have a chance to ask the parties questions that may have come up. And then we would either deliberate or schedule another time to deliberate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And I want to stress, I think all of us ought to be at your disposal in making this decision and give you whatever availability you think that you need. As we said, there's a big record here. It's gotten a little bit bigger. We want to be responsive.
Okay.
Mayor, I might just informally suggest that we keep the record open for a couple of weeks. We've done that in some recent hearings. And then set a time for rebuttal. And then at rebuttal, we can decide whether we want to deliberate or take additional time, which is also within our purview.
Yep, I would like that. I've got some questions from the hearing that I'd like to
probe into. Do you object to that?
What's that?
There's been a request to keep the record open, and then we'd reconvene for rebuttal.
We would like to have a couple minutes to talk amongst ourselves.
Okay.
It would be, I think, unusual for an applicant to not agree to that.
I don't think that we disagree with that, but I do know that we want to have a couple minutes.
Are we required to leave the record open if there's been new evidence submitted?
I'll give you a minute to confer. Go confer. Yeah, but we've got a request from one of the parties and an interest on the council in keeping the record open. So I'd have to hear an awfully good argument for why we shouldn't do that.
I just want to know from the city attorney.
Mr. Mayor, I would offer to fill the interim with a minute's worth of my own remarks about the open record.
I'm not sure
about how I view the open record period.
Say that since they're conferring, we ought to
about stand-up comedy, maybe.
I'm sorry.
You'd actually have to go to my son for that.
I actually not to do that
I was asked a question by Commissioner Fritz on that topic, so I'd like to at least jump in here. This is not the initial evidentiary hearing that was held before the Historic Landmarks Commission, so you are under no obligation to grant it. It's at your discretion whether you wish to grant some more time for people to respond to the information that's been submitted today.
Thank you. And then I have a follow-up question. Are there restrictions on the abilities of the parties and or members of the council to talk amongst ourselves to try to get to a agreed-upon solution?
You all are still under the ex parte rules set by our code and state law, which provides that you are not supposed to be talking about this with interested parties in the interim. That doesn't preclude the parties from having those discussions, but the members of the adjudicatory body are not supposed to be doing that.
So I think I know where my colleague may be going on that, and what I would say in the interim is that because a number of people were not able to testify today, a number of people were called and didn't testify, because we've had a claim that there was some new information, I still think it's the better practice to keep the record open so that everyone has a chance to be heard, and then to reconvene for rebuttal so council has a chance to make sure. And at that point, I think we can consider alternative ways of resolving the dispute. But there's a couple of issues for me have to be sharpened before I would urge that we come back. I think you've suggested, Mayor, 2 weeks. That makes sense. Have the rebuttal testimony, and then we as a council can decide next steps.
All right, and I have some specific questions and direction I'd like to give to the parties in the meantime, which they are free to confer between themselves even while we're not free to have those conversations.
So may I take a couple minutes to tell? We'd like to just say where we think we are at the hearing, and we're fine with having the record open. That sounds great. Looks like there'd be some good opportunities to work some things out. But I wanted to point out that, about condition B, that, as we mentioned, we've got a proposal that we designed to preserve options for whatever future uses the city might select.
One second, I have to jump in, Mayor. This sounds like rebuttal.
Yeah, let's
we're not.
You don't want to hear.
So okay. With all due respect, we want to give you a full opportunity to do that and both sides, but that's why we're suggesting a 2-week essentially set over, and then we could come back and
come back
hear everyone's arguments. And
sure.
I know you have something important to tell us, but it's 5:45, and I think it'll be better to have the record open for 2 weeks.
Sure.
So while you're both here, I have some issues that I'd like to hear from you on at rebuttal. One, we've heard new information about the cycle time involved in draining, cleaning, and refilling the reservoirs. I'd like more precise information about what that will be in reality, or what that is likely to be in reality, and given that cycle time, an estimate of how many days each year the reservoirs would actually be full or near full, given the fact that it sounds like it's going to take 100 days to, nearly 100 days to drain and refill them, and the year is only 365 days long, I'm pretty concerned about that. So I want to hear more about what that will be in reality, given that the condition is talking about that the reservoirs must continue to hold water within the normal historic operating range. It sounds like, given what we heard from the Water Bureau today, and I may not have understood the mechanics as they were described, but it may not be physically possible for the Water Bureau to meet that condition, given what you testified to today. So I need to hear more about that. I believe that condition E, as better explained by the members of the Landmarks Commission that were here, was intended to mean, was not to be slavishly interpreted, but was to be interpreted in a focused way towards restoration and maintenance projects, and that the removal of non-historic elements such as light fixtures and conduits that are attached to or involved with those maintenance and restoration projects are what they were intending when they referenced non-historic elements, not all of the non-historic elements mentioned in the Mount Tabor Reservoir's Historic Structures Report. So I would urge the parties to confer in general, because it's always good in a land use case, and people can go off and settle things. It doesn't always happen, but it's nice. But I would urge the two parties to confer anyway, but I would particularly like them to confer about the question of realistically what restoration and maintenance projects are we talking about, and is there a list that at least there might be general agreement on between the Water Bureau and the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association. Those seem to me a couple of productive areas from what I've heard in this hearing that might help us get to a better decision, or at least understand that one might not be possible.
Mayor, can I build on that for a second? In addition to that request, we heard some testimony that the 2009 report may also have some alternative approaches that are discussed. So if there's a fork in the road and an alternative approach, it would be good, if you are conferring, to have that conversation as well, so we don't come back and find out that we've identified what structures are covered and what aren't, but we're not in agreement as to the level of preservation. So if there is an alternative approach, I would ask you to have that as part of the dialogue. In addition, there was there's some question in my mind about what SHPO did or didn't do, and what to the extent they determined there was no adverse impact, what they were referring to. This is and I understand from prior testimony that we have the record in front of us. What I would say is if there's something either of you would like us to specifically focus on and you want to submit, you know, the letter or the history and a highlighted thing, that's very helpful to us when we have a substantial record, because then we know exactly what you're talking about and what you think is important. So thank you.
Other requests?
So I've heard from two of my colleagues some interest in doing at least some of the projects in the Historic Structures Report from 2009. So I'm going to indicate my support for that approach. And so I encourage the Water Bureau to look at these tables from page 9 to 16 in the report to figure out which ones can be done. And then the question of how to pay for it is a different question. So that's the council's responsibility. Unlike somebody testified that we could start doing it tomorrow, actually it would have to be in a capital improvement plan, which would have to be figured out into the rates. So the earliest it could start would probably be next year. So I do have some concerns and a question about realistically how quickly could those be done without raising the rates 10% or whatever it might be. I think that's certainly something that the current commissioner in charge of the Water Bureau and the mayor have been very reluctant to raise overall sewer and water rates over 5% for the past 2 years. So the timeline for the number of projects that we think are appropriate, and in looking through this, it looks to me like almost all of them are basic maintenance and repair with associated occasionally removing stuff. I'd like to know from the Water Bureau, in an ideal world, factoring in that ratepayers are going to have to pay for this, what would that condition look like, specifying which projects to do and also specifying perhaps a different timeline, because it does, even though 2019 sounds like a long time away, it really is just around the corner in terms of budgeting and getting things done.
And Mayor, I also just want to acknowledge, Tom Kohler spoke earlier. I think he's probably gone. He talked about the civic rituals, these civic exercises where we come together and we have these debates, these discussions. This week, we also had the Grant High School Constitution team come to council, and a group of young people that won the national championship. It's the, I think, second or third time in 5 years they've done so. It's the best in the country in grappling with big questions under the Constitution that don't have a ready answer. I would like to just echo the spirit of what Tom said, Mayor, which is this has been a long afternoon and a very passionate debate, but I think it was in the great tradition of the way Portland debates these issues. And I deeply appreciate the people that took time and came out and shared their views. And I think frankly, the record is going to give us a basis for making a more informed decision on this than we would have otherwise. So I want to just acknowledge that.
Agreed. Thank you.
In terms of the way forward, I'm not sure that it's realistic to be able to expect the parties to be able to both get the information that we've asked and meet together and come to some agreement in 2 weeks. So what you had previously suggested was to come back for the closure of the record, the rebuttal and such. Commissioner Fish, you engaged some consultants at the beginning of this process to do some mediation facilitation, which that process seemed to go very well. It might be something that we would consider after the 2 weeks to see if we could quickly get the two parties together, since you and I can't be involved in it. To have a third-party mediator might be helpful. Can we do that?
I think that's
the city attorney's looking a little bit nervous. No?
She just does that naturally.
That's her job.
Whenever we talk, we pay her
to be nervous.
Just in terms of scheduling, just to make sure you're aware, we were aware that it would be possible that the record be held open until June 11th, and we've identified a time for council to come back for rebuttal and deliberations on June 25th at 2. If there's a way to make that work, that's great. If there's not, we'll find a different time.
I would urge us to hold that date, the 25th.
I like that.
And that gives a prescribed time for the record, for the people to put additional information in the record, and it provides about a month for the process that you've contemplated, Commissioner.
Except there isn't a council session to hear the rebuttals.
No, that's what will be on the 25th.
On the 25th.
That was when it was originally, we were going to, the proposal was to come back on the 25th for rebuttal.
So then what happens between the 11th and the 25th?
Well, one, the record's been completed. And the two appellants will have a chance to review anything that's come in writing from people that either signed up.
So at that point, they could perhaps get together.
A chance or otherwise.
No, they could. Let me just make sure I understand the question. I think it's a good one. I believe there's nothing that prevents the parties voluntarily from beginning that process now. The only reason we're proposing additional time following the closing of the record is so the parties can read the record and prepare their rebuttal. But it contemplates what I think you were getting at, which is almost a month for the parties to have those potentially mediated discussions.
Right, and we might be able to help with that mediation.
I think we can help with it as long as we're not a party to it. And right. You and I could meet to confer on that.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
Okay. So unless there's further council deliberations or anything that the two of you feel like you have to throw into the mix, I'm going to say that we're going to hold the record open. We're going to close the public hearing for purposes of verbal testimony. We're going to hold the record open for written submittals from anyone who'd like to, whether they attended today's hearing or not, and that will close June 11th.
June 11th at 5 p.m., and the council clerk has handouts that show where those may be submitted.
Okay, and then we will return to this item at 2 p.m. on the 25th for purposes of council discussion and for rebuttal by both appellants.
Yes, and it'd probably be good to let people know it is at least possible that council would reach a tentative decision
It is quite possible that the council will make a tentative decision that day, and as we always do in a land use case, we make a tentative decision and then it comes back with legal findings later.
So, but Carla, that 2 o'clock time certain on the 25th works for you?
Yes, that was an open date.
Mm-hmm. What day is that?
That is a Thursday.
Thursday, the 25th.
Thank you.
Does that work?
And just a note to the community members, to repeat, Commissioner Fish and I are not allowed to talk with anybody directly, so our staff will be in contact to figure out about the mediation should it be desired.
Okay, so this item's continued on that schedule, and we're adjourned for this week. Thank you all very much. Okie doke. Well, you know, we did, but now we know we didn't have to.
Yeah.
That's much worse.
Yeah. I didn't.
Me too.
I was expecting it to be like this. This is a really great group.
Thank you.
And they made it really clear that they expected it to be. Yeah, thank you.
See, nice job. I can't. So I'll check with you.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you having fun without me?
Oh, yeah. Well, we actually need some fun. For bonding. Yeah, there's no better place to bond than Terminal 6.
Oh, right. All right. I think you and I have bonded in the morning, right?
Yeah. Oh, Nick, have you figured out yet
yes.
when you're free for dinner next Thursday?
Oh, my gosh. Nice to see you. I didn't think you'd have to be here all day.
I asked Asha to see whether I could. What time is it?
It's at 7.
Yeah, I'll let you know first thing in the morning.
Okay. Miss it.
Thanks very much.